Carnival World, Chapter 57. Padre and Anselm discussed their situation. The result of their parley was that it would be too difficult for them to help Kai walk back to camp. It was a hard pull, but Anselm and Padre grabbed Ranger Kai by his combat vest rather than pulling him upright and helping him walk. When they dropped him next to Maria, he whispered hoarsely, "I want coffee, but hold the cup for me to drink. Give me a swig or two, then set it down, and then keep on doing whatever you are doing to aid the others." Padre and Anselm walked over to Bard. Orlando said, "Give me a few minutes, and I think I can make it on my own. Get Gordo first. He is not dead. I can hear his heart beating and his breathing. Take him over to the camp area, then come back for me." Anselm nodded. Padre, the dwarf cleric, replied,
"Aye, laddie. What do you ken of an angelic rescue mission?"
"I am at a loss for words, Padre. I am well aware of 2 Kings chapter 19 and Isaiah chapter 37. If you need to, Padre and Anselm, we can talk about it later when I host my once-per-month fellowship meeting at my inn. For now, go get Gordo. I must say, though, I am really glad Mystica isn't dead. Thank Creator, I thought she was a goner." Padre replied,
"Aye, laddie, I too thought the wee lass was killed by that Nicky Penn's wolfman."
Anselm mumbled a prayer of thanks, then went over to Gordo. Padre squatted, fiddled with his beard, and then laid his ear across Gordo's chest. He listened.
"Right as rain, Bard was. Gordo's heart is still pumping, but he's oot cold," he added. "I want to pull his helm off, but it is stuck good and hard."
Anselm felt Gordo's wrist. "I don't know what a half-orc's pulse should be, brother, but his skin is cool, and the pulse seems slow for a human." The Latino Earthman, carefully using good English, after he gently probed Gordo's neck, offered, based on his very basic medical knowledge, a patient summary. "I am not a doctor, but I have had some medical training. No bruising, nothing seems to be broken. He's carrying a couple of new cloth scars, just like Bard, but they are healed. I think we can risk moving him to the camp, Padre." Padre lifted his head up from Gordo's chest and then stood up.
"Gracias, Jesus," whispered Anselm. "I, brother Anselm, Creator and his son be praised," intoned Padre.
With just as much effort as they had hauling Kai, except that they walked slowly, each grasped extra leather loops and metal rings on Gordo's combat leathers. After a great effort, they hauled the Comatose half-orc back to the camp area. When they returned to Orlando Bard, he was trying to stand. Wobbling like an hour-old foal, he kept collapsing. "I have been in worse situations than this. I shouldn't have to crawl," lamented Bard.
"Listen to ye, laddie," snapped Padre.
The dwarf cleric added,
"You just killed a stack pile of monsters, Ori, me boy, and you lost about 4/5 of your blood in the claw rakes of those monstrous Nicky Ben's beasties. What do you expect? Are you out of your mind, Orlando Bard?"
Padre and Anselm squatted and then stood under Bard's armpits. With mighty grunts, they forced themselves upright. Bard arose slowly, and they walked him to the camp. They carefully helped Bard sit down. Using his arms, Bard pulled his legs into a Native American leg cross. He pulled the proffered blanket into place. "I'll take a coffee, please. What would I do for a hefty jolt of French vanilla creamer right now? Hopefully, the mess crew will have some when they come in the skipjack."
"Coming right up, brother,"
offered Anselm. "Sorry, Bard, unless Bruce the Moose is willing to part with some of his recently traded sugars and creamers. Coffee or tea is hot and black only." Big Jay and Gomez, when they had recovered, while Padre and Anselm had been helping the others, had at last assisted Daphne. Dr. Kimball was sitting up, legs delicately folded to her right, crying softly and sipping the hot tea. Anselm grabbed a coffee, holding it with both hands, breathing in the bitter aroma, soaking up the warmth, and sat near Daphne, Big Jay, Gomez, and Jorge. Even though the sun and the breeze of Carnival World was toasty warm, the angelic awe aura had cooled the adventure team, Padre and Anselm the least.
Kai, Maria, and Mystica had been chilled to the bone and had only slowly regained their natural warmth.
"Where is that wee beastie Jose?" asked Padre. "Did he fall over the edge of the cliff?"
Big J replied, "No, he locked himself in the outhouse, amigo." Padre snorted and quipped,
"So that was the big bang I heard earlier," he added. "With a bahookie as small as his is, and no more tied to his nethers, the wee beastie probably fell in."
"Very funny, amigo," chuckled Big J. "All the same, unless someone has to take a dump or a whiz, let's just leave the stereotypical Latino lover in there. I don't think he'll be working for me when we get back to Earth." Gomez snapped a series of photos around the group, including the outhouse, and gently dropped his camera to hang by the straps back onto his chest. Suddenly, Malik Jazz appeared, with not a drop of blood or soil on his body. "Just rest," he said seriously. "Consume your hot refreshments, and you will all be fine. When Dr. Kimball is feeling better, there are a couple of those high-tech dog collars for her to examine, laying by the Bard's victory pile." Malik Jazz sprinted so quickly that his body was a barely visible blur and leaped off the western end of the Temple Butte. As suddenly he reappeared, pointed at Bard, with a grin on his handsome face, his lavender eyes twinkling. He laughed.
"Don't shoot me with your bow, Orlando Bard."
And then he was gone. Just as quickly, Jed appeared, emerald eyes scintillating. He grinned even more broadly than Jazz. "Just rest, everyone. You are all safe now. And Gordo, thank the Lord Most High, Father of Yeshua the Christ. Orcs have hard skulls." That massive, sobby fist, even with the helmet, would have broken a human head like a chef cracks an egg. He paused, knelt beside Gordo, and rubbed the dent on the golden, red-band helm. The bent metal popped loudly, startling everyone present. The Malik removed the helm. He waved his finger at Gomez. "Be careful now, Gomez Reyes, when you take photos. Gordo needs more air, and this helmet is not conducive to that necessity." Jed smiled. "Don't be afraid. Gordo is in a coma, and he will not awake until tomorrow afternoon. But I assure you, and I am a Malik spelled M-A-L-E-K, not a Malik spelled M-A-L-I-K, so I do not lie. Gordo will be fine." Just as quickly, he somersaulted over the edge of the cliff. Jed immediately returned. "By the way," he laughed, a mischievous twinkle in his emerald green eyes, "I wanted you to know something, Padre." After a pause, Padre blew his lips like a horse, then asked, "What did you want me to ken, Angel?" Jed laughed. "That lone potion in your pack of cryptid stun liquid." Padre snorted and huffed.
"I thought you said you were an M-A-L-E-K, Malik."
"Did you look in your pack, favored little dwarf?" replied Jed. Padre grumbled loudly, then pulled around his strapped potion pack. He blew irritatedly through his lips once more, then growled,
"How can this be? I used up all of the sky blue potions. I do not ken this tricksiness."
Jed laughed once more. "Don't throw that potion at me, Padre. My back is turned." He laughed merrily and bowed lightly to Padre, then so fast you could not see him, as Padre blew through his lips like a stallion. Malik Jed rejoined the field of battle beneath the Temple Butte. Jazz left the fighting and appeared. He laughed, lavender eyes sparkling, and asked,
"Did you think we were going to ignore you, Anselm? You are also highly favored because of your compassionate heart and because you narrated both an American English audio Bible and an audio Spanish Bible. Both became bestsellers on Earth." Suddenly, Malik Jazz vanished and then reappeared.
"Don't wave your finger at me, Anselm, like Padre's grandfather and father would do."
He laughed and slapped his knee. Jorge asked in Spanish, "Where are your wings?" Jazz bowed lightly toward Jorge, then answered in fluent Spanish,
"I am not that kind of angel, Jorge."
Malik Jed appeared, and answering in Spanish as well, he added,
"The only time Jazz and I wear wings is when we attend the formal divine council meeting, and those aren't real wings, just costume attachments for our formal gowns.
It would not be proper to wear what we are wearing to a divine council meeting. Jazz chimed in. No, Brother Jed is correct. It would not be proper. It would be bad form, dear friends, to wear our warring angel gear to a divine council meeting. Jed continued, we are not cherubim or seraphim, and we do not have wings. And when people take pictures of us, if we appear at all, we may be flowing lights rather than what you see before you with your own eyes. Because of that, you may mistakenly say that we have wings. And friends, don't believe every wind of rumor. We do not have headbutting contests with bisons and aurochs. We are not that kind of angel. We are ministering message and warrior angels. Jazz interjected. We could, but we won't. Not proper. Bad form. Malik spelled M-A-L-I-K. Perform such childish, sensual shenanigans. Not Malik's like Jed. Not Malik's like me. Jed added, as you can see, dear friends, we don't need wings. We can control gravity psionically better than a Naga snake warrior. Malik Jazz does not have real wings. I don't have real wings. Jorge, cherished child of Yeshua Jesus. And that is Jesus, pronounced Jesus, not Jesus. Jed chuckled, then bowed lightly to Jorge. Once again, both Maliks vanished. Those who could watched them in the distance as they battled the remaining dog-colored wolfmen and Sasquatches.